I've just returned from 5 days studying deeply the writings of Martin Luther. If there was one thing you could say definitively about Luther is that he was a man of great conflict, always wondering if he was doing enough. But then he came to this realization that he could never do enough, and he realized that righteousness based on works was ultimately a fool's errand. God gave righteousness through Jesus Christ. This conflicted with the system of his day. The church was in bed with the government, and so he railed against it so many times that it almost gets tiresome, and you almost get sick of hearing it again and again. Well, I would say to Luther, what can you do with Jesus' parable today in Matthew? The kingdom of heaven can be compared to a landowner who entrusts tons of money. Each talent is valued at 20 years' wages. That's incredible. Think about that. The landowner is then gone for a long time, enough time, presumably, for them to double the investments. Two of them do. The third one buries the money. But before we get too harsh with him, we have to remember that there was no FDIC in Jesus' day. There was no insurance that you would get your money back. And so, burying your money was a common practice. Nonetheless, the servant was expected to do something with the entrusted talents. But his disdain for the master was such that he wanted to stick it to him by doing nothing with it. Landowners of that day were not viewed very favorably, so his attitude was probably pretty common. They exploited their slaves oftentimes. And so the master responds, his response dripping with sarcasm, "So you knew I was cruel and unfair. Well, let me show you how much you were right." And then he has him cast out in the outer darkness, where we are told there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is a troublesome text, this whole on-the-surface idea of earning favor with the master. It's probably why so many have shied away from associating God with this master. The master has no grace. There's no second chances. And so how do we reclaim it? What do we think about when we think about what the core issue is in this parable? Well, it could be the core issue is that of accountability. It is never permitted for us in God's kingdom to squander the gifts that God has given to us. To do so is to consider God's gift of Jesus Christ, his death to redeem us of our sin, as having no value. We saw the judgment that incurs from earlier parables about the wicked tenants of the vineyard who kill the son of the landowner in an attempt to get favor in terms of getting the land. That was what happened to Jesus. The investment God made in sending his son for the salvation of the world was of infinite cost and infinite worth. To say that we can do nothing in response to that gift is to discredit the love and the sacrifice of our God. Henry, who we just baptized, is a life in which we invest the gifts that God has given to us as a congregation. His life will be nurtured by this congregation, and we are expected to do it faithfully. We are accountable to him. He will be accountable to us. A professor of preaching used to tell the story of a little boy who made a candy dish in his ceramics class at school, or an ashtray or something like that, and on a appointed day emerged from school. He was running to present the ceramics creation to his waiting mother, and alas, he tripped and he broke the ashtray into a dozen pieces. His mother ran up and knelt down and said, "It's okay, it's all right," as she tries to soothe his tears. And he said, "No, it's not all right. It's not okay." As a parent, I've been there, you probably have too. Sometimes no judgment is worse than a negative judgment. For God to simply say, faced with the broken promises, our warped lives, our messes, "It's all right, it's okay, it doesn't matter anyway," is not to take the gifts that God has given us with gratitude. It is to imply that our lives really don't matter. The battles that you and I fight are of no consequence anyway. Our acts of courage and goodness are pointless. But God does not look at any of us for whom God has entrusted our talents and declare, it's okay that you didn't make the most of the gifts that I gave you. God instead says, it's not okay. I entrusted Christ to you. But on this other end of the spectrum, we are not to invest our gifts out of fear of punishment. Faithful service is not rightly done in fear of a harsh master, a harsh boss, nor is it done in hopes of some future reward alone. This mentality, Luther correctly said, steers us toward works righteousness, not away. Faithful service is due to awe and obedience and a grateful response to what God has given us in Jesus Christ, life everlasting, renewed every moment. The master gave the slaves talents without their earning his trust to invest them. He just gave it to them out of sheer grace. The gift that Martin Luther and other reformers gave to our church was to help us not do for God out of fear of punishment or infatuation for some heavenly reward. But sometimes the pendulum swings too far toward idle complacency. If we confess that Jesus' gift to us was of infinite worth to enter into the joy of the Master, then to sit on our gift makes no sense. So Jesus gives us good news. At some point, God Almighty, who has given us the gift of life and all the gifts to make up our lives, that same one will ask, what have you done with what you have been given? If Jesus' life counts for us, then we who are the ones who know this life in us are accountable to him. We are accountable to God to take what Jesus showed us and do the same. We are accountable to God to take the Spirit Jesus sent us and risk investing in the places God directs us to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We cannot dodge the truth in Scripture that we will be accountable to God. It's coming up again next week, friends. But it's not bad news for us who are in Christ. It is good news. None of the slaves in the parable were asked to invest more than they had been given. So it is with us. But in order to know what our personal faithfulness should look like, we have to take account of what we have received from God. One thing we can be sure of, what we have received demands more than what we can invest in a Sunday morning hour of worship or study or an occasional act of mission or a season of charitable giving. The first two slaves had to no doubt invest a lot of time and energy and intelligence to double the talents entrusted to them. It has no doubt required them to be on the lookout for ways to grow the investment. And so perhaps our attitude, our composure, should be like the line from the famous hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my heart, my all." The kingdom of heaven is more fully enjoyed when we invest the talents we're given. God has entrusted to us the time and the energy and the intelligence we have to do so. This looks different for everyone. Some will find it in full-time ministry or social work, but more of us will be asked to invest fully where we are. I think perhaps when the disciples heard this parable, they were scratching their heads. After all, they had no money. What could they invest? It's probably why immediately following these verses, Jesus paints the picture of a triumphant return and people calling to account for what they did in the ordinary moments. We'll read about that next week. If you've ever been trained for a job, at some point you're made aware that the company invests much time and money in fitting you for that company so that you can make the company grow. The greater the investment, the more that is expected, the more accountable you will be. In a similar way, we will all be accountable to God because God has invested much in us. And yet, through Jesus Christ, through the life we have been given in him, we have the opportunity and the ability to invest where God has placed us, to the benefit of those around us, to the glory of God's kingdom. It is not, friends, it is not something that God demands from us that we cannot share, that we cannot give. And so it takes examining. It takes attention. It takes energy. It takes employing your imagination and intelligence, asking God the question, where would you have me invest the life, the gifts that I have been given to your glory, for your kingdom? Today, as we remember our baptisms, to remember that we are new creations in Christ, we have great potential to share this life. Around us are people who need it. Around us are people who feel like they have no worth. They have nothing to share. They have nothing to receive. Show them they are wrong. Show them there's a Savior for them in Jesus Christ. Bear Christ to them so that in Him they will find the life they so long for. All praise, glory, and honor be unto God who has given us the life of Christ so that we may live through Him and experience the joy of our salvation. Hallelujah. Amen.